Welcome one and all to this January Parkinson's Recovery Support Group session. Our session meets each and every month, the last Monday of the month at 12 noon Pacific Time, USA. Those of you who live in other countries, I want to make sure that you know there is a listing of local call-in numbers. You can call the local call-in number that's listed for your locality and connect in by phone. You can also, of course, always connect in through your computer. If you'd like to be able to talk, to engage other members of the group, you will have to call in, not just connect through your computer. Of course, you can also call in through Skype. Just a couple of notes about this technology that I use. It's been quite successful over the last several years because we're global and we can connect with anyone anywhere in the world. Sometimes the system suddenly blanks out, and I'll be talking or you'll be talking, and all of a sudden we can't hear each other. It just means for some reason that the connections has been broken, and what I have to do is call back in to the number. You'll have to do the same if that happens. So if my voice all of a sudden goes silent, just pause, give me about a minute or 2 minutes to call back in, and we'll reset this particular engagement. It's not a big problem. It happens once out of every two or three sessions, but you can be on the lookout that it will eventually happen here or there. Many of you who are connecting in are new support group members because you have joined Parkinson's Recovery membership. And I want to make sure everyone understands that the information on how to connect in here to the support group sessions is now found on the Parkinson's Recovery website page for these support group sessions. Now, I'm hoping that all of you who are members have had an opportunity to experiment and explore the membership services and programs that I've now created for you. I update the pages every single weekday. Now, admittedly, I take a break on Saturday and Sunday, but you'll find new information on the pages each and every day and each week. So if you haven't already done so, the idea of membership is to invite each of you to visit the websites each day, not to spend an hour or 2 hours, but to spend 10, 15 minutes getting an infusion of positive energy, because what you'll find is present on the membership websites will be all of the basic support systems that are essential to recovery. So we address everything that's really important. We go to the issue of mindfulness, being present in the moment. We offer an exercise for the day, a little simple kind of thing that you can do yourself. If you move just 2 minutes, I know this is hard to believe, but just 2 minutes, you will actually feel better. Many of you have many responsibilities. You're doing many, many different kinds of things, and it's hard to stop and exercise every day. Well, the point of the membership is, okay, here's a little thing you can do. It's different. You've probably never done it before, so take 2 minutes out of your day and do this little short, brief exercise. And then you can do it every day for that week. You'll have a new exercise the following week. More importantly, I think, there's also a natural recipe that's offered each and every weekday. I find those quite engaging because I get lots of ideas of the kinds of things you can fix that are natural, healthy, and will help you feel better. Of course, we've got the categories of all of the radio shows, which is probably one of the most valuable resources of the membership, including here our support group sessions. You'll notice on the page that is the radio show page that the most recent shows are listed at the top. But what you need to understand is there are 225 shows, so there are at least 13 or 14 different pages. The best way to access the shows is to ask the question, what's the topic you'd like to hear more about? And then scroll down the page, and you'll notice there are categories that are listed on the right-hand side of the page. And just a detail for those of you that are new to membership, you don't need to log into the membership. You've got a one website address. Once you get into that one website, which is this support group website address, then just look down the right-hand column of each and every website page. And you'll notice all the shows are listed there. All you have to do is click on the show, and it takes you to that website. If you do anything every day, why not click on the Jokes website? I take great pride in the Jokes website, and I know that everybody's not going to find every joke funny every day. But I'm sure you're going to find some of the jokes hilarious. And, of course, the whole incentive there is not to laugh inside but to laugh outside. So when you see the joke, what you'll want to do is, if you think it's funny, laugh outside, because that's the natural way of producing dopamine. And if you think it's the stupidest joke you've ever heard, well, then laugh at me. Just laugh. That's the whole point. So the jokes are there really just to induce dopamine naturally. It's much better than taking any kind of supplement or any kind of medicine. Believe me, out loud laughter, for whatever reason, really is the best maker of dopamine that exists. So many different pages, and of course what I spend probably the most time on is recording the week-long meditation, which is 30 minutes. About many, many different topics. And so there you get to carve away at some issues that may be holding your recovery back, using a number of different perspectives. And then we have the daily meditations that are only anywhere from 2 minutes to, some of them are 4.5 or 5 minutes, but most of them are only a couple of minutes. So it only takes you a few minutes to listen to the daily meditation and to do some reflection of the topic that's addressed for this particular week. So again, welcome those of you who've joined as members. We are all joining together as a community on the journeying down the road to recovery. My job is to facilitate everything I can do to help you find the resources you need to get the support that you need to see a reversal of your symptoms. Now, the pattern here in our support group meetings is to think of this as a physical meeting. Now, true, we are living in many, many different places in many different countries, but just imagine that we have all gathered together in the same room at the same time, which is now, and so we're basically sitting around in a circle, and what we'll do is we'll, as is the case for support group meetings, we'll just go around the circle and ask each of you, so how's it going, what's up, and invite you to either say, well, I'm just here to listen, or to say, well, I just discovered something I want everybody to know about, or it could be, well, I've got this issue I'd like to get some perspective on from others. And so whatever it is you're convening here today to explore, then that's what we talk about. Now, when I connect in with each person, I don't have the lines open for anyone else because there tends to be a lot of noise. But if there's a question that we need to ask everybody, then we just open up all the lines and hope there's not enough static so that we can hear everybody discuss it. That's basically the style that I've adopted for these support group meetings. That's turned out to be, I think, overall quite successful. Now, what I also do as a matter of practice and routine is to simply preview the work that we've done this past month, which, of course, is January 2017. So I just wanted to make sure that you know what you'll see listing on the radio show page will be shows from the following remarkable individuals. The most recent show was titled What Doesn't Kill Us. Scott Carney is a guest who's a journalist, quite well known, who's written this book about how feeling cold and chilled actually enhances our immune system. It's quite an interesting idea, and it's a great follow-up from a show that I attempted to air several years ago with a man who's known as the Iceman. He's Dutch, and we weren't able to successfully connect him into the radio show page for the interview. He wanted to be interviewed. He wanted to be on the show, but we just couldn't make it happen. And on this particular show, what Scott also reports is a discussion in an interview with an individual, Hans, who's, I believe, also Dutch, who has been able to get remarkable relief from his symptoms using a program that the Iceman advocates, and that, of course, now Scott Carney is advocating as well. So it's quite an interesting idea. I don't personally like to be chilled, but after hearing the show and knowing about this, I've been turning down the temperature in our house and feeling the shivers here and there with the idea that I'll be able to enhance my immune system. It's a fascinating idea. That show aired on January the 16th. On January the 11th, I interviewed Dr. Christian Hagerseth. He is a retired psychiatrist, a medical doctor type, and Christian developed symptoms of Parkinson's about 6 years ago, experimented with a number of different approaches and models and therapies that, as it turned out, offered him sustained relief from his symptoms. And he is now offering a program to others that models what he found was successful for him. This is quite a fascinating interview about what he has discovered really makes a difference. And he really is emphasizing the importance of mindfulness as a very important component of anybody's recovery. There is a mindfulness website, and there's a mindfulness challenge here on the member website. So if you check in every week on Monday, you'll see the challenge. The invitation is for you to engage that challenge for 3 or 4 days, and then on Thursday of that very same week, you'll see a further elaboration of the implications of that particular challenge for, you guessed it, individuals who currently experience Parkinson's symptoms. January 9th, I interviewed John O'Dwyer, an amazing researcher, a health kind of an advocate for natural therapies. And John discusses six very different healing techniques that are known as energy healing techniques. It's a fascinating interview. For those of you who are drawn to find and explore energy healing methods, that's definitely a show you'll want to hear. And then finally, on January the 4th, I interviewed Ross Pelton for the second time. And Ross introduced a couple of ideas that he had of some probiotic products that are helping individuals with Parkinson's symptoms. And so that's a really a wonderful show to listen to. The research development over the last year turns out to be that there is an enzyme discovered. This is a digestive enzyme that actually produces or facilitates the production of glutathione in the body naturally. So the idea here is, and I'm very excited about this, instead of getting IV infusions of glutathione, which we know people with Parkinson's symptoms are very deficient in, or taking some kind of a supplement, you can actually produce this naturally in the gut. I thought, what an incredible idea. So he discusses that particular development. The actual product is called RegActive, RegActiv. And he also discusses a probiotic that is Dr. O'Hara's probiotic. It's a really a high-quality professional kind of a probiotic. I've been taking that probiotic now for about 3 weeks, and I've noticed a difference myself in terms of my energy, my mood, my overall health has been improved. So I'm now an advocate of this Dr. O'Hara's probiotics as well. It really is something that everyone needs in the digestive system. You got to have the good bacteria in order to have healthy digestion. And so that's a fascinating show for me, a wonderful interview with a man who's not only knowledgeable, but actually very well known as the natural pharmacist. Now, in terms of a couple of shows that I've been working on, hopefully airing here the next month, is I've given an invitation to Dr. Faraya, who has developed something called the Faraya Technique. Now, this is quite fascinating, and I'm going to be posting later today on the Walk with Ease membership website that you'll be able to see. Again, that's later today. A little discussion of what he has done. He's basically saying that the ability to walk with ease and confidence is a question of simply remembering that we know how to do it. We just have to be re-educated on remembering how it was that we walked when we were little, when we were younger. And so he's a professor at the University of Toronto, and I think has been doing some remarkable work. So he's basically saying the solution doesn't lie with surgeries or medications or even supplements. It really lies with identifying the new habits that need to be formed that were lost or are basically forgotten. So he says that basically we create walls in our minds that block the ability of us to remember what we need to do in order to be able to perform basic functions. And so what his technology does is it really brings emotions back to life. And so he is changing the structure of the brain so that you got true neuroplasticity at play. I thought it was a fascinating idea, and I'm hoping he'll be agreeable to be a guest so that we can learn more about exactly what his technique does. The other exciting thing I have to tell everybody is apparently he can get results, at least preliminary results, pretty quickly. Of course, you've got to do this every day for a while in order to be able to see long-term results. But I'm excited about this. It's a remarkable set of ideas. And then second of all, there's another interview that I hope to be able to succeed with. There's an individual who invented a machine called Vector, V-E-C-T-T-O-R, Dr. Donald Rhodes, who is from Texas. And when I first interviewed him about 7 years ago, he had developed this Vector instrument that was specifically designed to address issues with pain. It's now FDA-approved for pain, and so I hope to be able to have him on the show to discuss the new developments for his Vector machine and the results that he's getting specifically for persons who experience these neurological challenges that are associated with the diagnosis of Parkinson's disease. So that's what we've been doing here on the radio show for the last month. Again, you've got easy, user-friendly access to all of these interviews here on the membership website. So all you do is you look down the right-hand column of each and every page, and you'll see there's a little listing there that says radio show. You click on that little picture, that little icon, and that'll take you to the radio show page. And you'll see these top listings of these four shows that I aired in January right there on the member website with a description with links to the various appropriate websites. And as these new shows are aired, you'll see them pop up right here on the member website. So the idea is everything that we're creating, everything that we're discovering is sort of being posted here on the member website for those of you who are looking for great, new, wonderful ideas that have the potential to help you reverse whatever symptoms you might currently be experiencing. So now what I want to do is, again, I'm just the facilitator here of this support group session here in January of 2017. So what I'd like to do now is to just connect with each of you. So just imagine we're sitting in a circle. So I'll open up your phone line and just say hi. Just imagine we're all here face-to-face, although, of course, that's not the case. And just find out, well, what's up and what kinds of things have you discovered? Do you have any issues you want others to discuss or questions you want to ask? I'd be happy to address any questions that you have. And also, just as a note, there's always the invitation for you to email me anytime during the month and say, look, here's a topic I'd like for everyone to discuss, or here's a question that I have for you, and I'll be happy to discuss it here during our support group session. So anything is up for grabs here each and every last Monday of each and every month. So let me go here down the list. Looks like we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 wonderful individuals who have called in. And by the way, as I connect with you, if you're here really just to listen, please just say, listen, thank you very much. I'm just here to listen, and you know, I don't really have much to contribute right now. Just say that. There's no requirement that anyone has to do anything or say anything or offer any topics for suggestion. So the first person here on my list is Trula. Trula, are you there? Hello?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, we can, loud and clear. So welcome very much to the support group.
Thank you. It's my second time.
Oh, wonderful. So did you have any issues you wanted to address or information you wanted to share?
Yeah, I have a question, but I'd like to give you a brief report because my first session with you, you talked to me about listening to a radio program about connecting to a parent through love.
Yes.
And I listened to that, and it was really a remarkable experience. I had no idea that I was doing that, and once I really surfaced it and confronted it, it made a world of difference. I mean, just in every way, with my symptoms and my mood, everything was improved. So I really encourage people that might have the same kind of issue going on to take a listen to that. And what was the name of that program again? I'm not saying it correctly.
Well, I'm trying to, as you're talking, Drew, I'm trying to think, what is that? Now, I've done meditations on that issue. Did you find it on the member websites?
Yeah, it was on the member website, and it was a radio program, a woman, and she was talking about family dynamics.
Oh, that's right. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. This was an interview with Dee Yo, I believe.
Right, right.
Dee, her name is Dee Yo, Y-O-H, and Dee and I were both colleagues in a course, a year-long course in San Francisco that taught us how to facilitate family constellations. And I got Dee to be on the show, and she provided a beautiful explanation of some of the entanglements that happen in our families that are really have powerful impacts on our health and wellness. So what I can do, Trula, what I can do, Trula, is I can put on, I have a little page here on the member website that's updates from Robert, and what I'll do after we conclude our session is I'll put a notice of a link to that radio show so that people who want to hear it will have easy access to it. It's a wonderful interview.
Yeah, it's really great. I appreciated it so much, and it was so subconscious for me. I had no idea that was what was going on, but as soon as you bring it to consciousness, it was like it just disappeared.
That's right. Isn't that wonderful, though?
It's like incredible.
It's like magic. It's so wonderful. And, you know,
it was wonderful.
Lot of these personal issues, you know, let's say we've got, we carry a lot of anger or whatever. Well, if it's not connected to the family entanglement issues, it may take a long time to address that personally. But, boy, when it's an entanglement, once you acknowledge it, it's gone. It's just so cool. So.
Yeah, and it can be an entanglement through love, which was really incredible to me. You know, my love for my father was just making me do all kinds of things that weren't about me, were about him.
Isn't that incredible? I know. I mean, we will do anything for our parent out of love. So we'll take on their disease, we'll take on their suffering.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's all unconscious. So it's not logical. You know, why would anybody logically do this?
Yeah.
But it's a huge dynamic. And Trula, I include that as a part of the Jumpstart to Recovery course because I think it's a big reason why a lot of people don't fully and completely reverse their symptoms is there's an entanglement there they just need to acknowledge and release.
Right. Which brings me to my question now for today. I went to see my neurologist last week for my regular check, and my symptoms had not progressed. And he was surprised. Of course, this is after I did listening to the radio program and so forth. But he was, like, surprised. And so the next thing he's talking to me about, he's saying, well, you know, I'm just wondering, maybe you have Parkinsonism. And so I wanted to know about Parkinsonism. What is that about?
Well, so these are labels that medical doctors have to assign to what they're guessing would be the cluster of symptoms that a person experiences. I have to tell you, Trula, that I step aside from explaining what any of these terms mean. I defer to medical doctors because I'm really not qualified or I'm not supposed to really say what it all is.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my personal perspective on any label that's given to a set of symptoms. So you can take Parkinsonism or you can take Parkinson's disease. It doesn't really matter. It's basically a label that is assigned to a cluster of symptoms. And the cause of those symptoms can be very, very different. So there's so many different factors that can cause these neurological challenges. Simply saying that the label that you want to assign to the symptoms is, and again, you can fill in the blank. I don't care what the word is. Any kind of disease label that is given really is typically similar to what I'm suggesting.
Mm-hmm.
So my feeling is I don't think that there's a lot of value in attaching yourself to any label of the symptoms that you currently experience. That's my personal perspective as a researcher. I think when you think of yourself as a person who has, quote, Parkinsonism or Parkinson's disease, you are feeding the negativity that's associated with that label. So you're just assuming that once now that label has been given, that this condition is always going to get worse. So So I noticed that when you actually described what was happening, or when the doctor described, the words that were given is, well, it has not progressed. So the assumption is it was going to get worse. So when you attach yourself to that, when you attach yourself to that label, all of a sudden you have embraced the false template that whatever this is going to be worse year after year, and eventually you're going to be in a nursing home. That's what you're embracing when you accept those kinds of terms.
Mm-hmm.
Now, stepping aside from all of that, it is true that medical doctors must assign some label in order to prescribe medications. They can't just see you and say, okay, well, I don't know, let's try this medicine. Maybe it'll work. You know, that's legally not permissible. So they have to have some assignment of a disease condition in order to be able to legally prescribe medication. So what he might have begun to think is, well, maybe this label is not quite right, and he's not feeling comfortable in prescribing medications under that label, but it may be that you would better fit under this other label, and then there are certain listings of medications that are authorized if a person has that diagnosis. Do you see?
Yes.
So it may be he would have felt a lot better if it had a different label as a name given to these symptoms, and then would have felt better about whatever medication he might have been recommending. So doctors have to do that. They don't have any choice. And it's just a guess as to, you know, what label they give. They look at a person walk, or they just sort of, given the experience they have with people who have these kinds of challenges, and which people have responded to medications and which haven't, they then assign a label, and then they recommend some medications, and then they wait and see whether or not that's going to help or not. So, you know, in terms of saying, all right, what's the difference between the two, I'm sure a medical doctor would be able to give you a pretty lucid explanation. But my feeling is the label itself doesn't help. It doesn't help us as people who are experiencing these symptoms. It's something that the doctors must do in order to be able to do their work, so we have to defer to them and their wisdom about what they feel like is the appropriate label. But for us to accept that as a definition of who we are, I think, is a big mistake. So people, for example, who would say, well, I'm a, quote, Parky, well, that just all of a sudden they are saying, all right, I'm one among people who doctors say are going to get worse and worse every year. I mean, they're just accepting that belief. And again, I'm saying that's a false belief. And if you accept it, it will become true, because our thoughts control everything. So I think the better thing to do is to say, well, just defer to the doctor. They can call it whatever they feel like they need to call it. That's their job. But you don't need to accept that. You don't need to buy into whatever that label is. It seems to me the only thing that really helps a lot of people, in my opinion, is to say, okay, well, I've got this set of symptoms. What is the body really telling me? What's out of balance? What's causing this? And so for you to just sort through, there's probably several different factors that are at play. And once you figure out what those are, then you can do something about it.
That's very helpful. Thank you very much, Dr. Rogers.
Well, you're welcome. And again, that's my perspective, but I've never seen anybody that really seemed to be personally benefited by any label that was given to their condition, anything other than just feeling pretty horrible about what's happening to them and going into this negative trail of, oh, it's going to get worse, it's degenerative, and all of those words, I just want to say, are horrible. Those are horrible words. My goodness.
Mm-hmm.
To think, you know, that tomorrow you're going to be worse than today, well, that's an awful thought. And again, the problem is when people buy into that and they believe it's true, it will happen.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So what a wonderful question, Trula. Did you have any other topic or question you wanted to address?
Well, maybe later. I want to give the other members a chance first.
Okay, we'll go on to Bill and see what's going on with him. Bill, hi.
Hey, Robert, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well here. It's still cold here in Washington, but we're doing all right. So how about you in North Carolina?
Good. Speaking of cold, that guy is advocating inducing cold temperature, I guess, as a way of improving something. That's sort of freakish to me, because I find that cold weather or being chilled definitely makes my symptoms worse. So I will not be trying that out.
Good for you. I had the same reaction, actually. You know, they're talking about cold showers, and I actually tried it right after I did the interview, and it just drove me crazy, Bill. I can't do this. So it's an interesting idea. So you listened to the whole interview, and he talked about Hans?
I wouldn't even attempt it because, I mean, the whole idea is anathema to me because, you know, even before I had Parkinson's, I didn't like cold weather, but I noticed that if I allow myself to get chilled, it definitely makes my symptoms worse. So
that's not it. Warm. Yeah. Well, good for you. I mean, you know, we all have to choose, okay, what calls out to us. That's obviously not one that does. The interesting part of that interview was the Hans. I actually know Hans because the journalist, Scott Carney, referred to an interview he had with Hans about what he did with all of this. And Hans has been getting sustained results from his symptoms. And I actually know Hans. Hans is the one, actually, who told me about the Iceman, who is the person who created all of this. And so he actually is the person that launched my own investigation into this. I kind of have hesitation, too, about the ideas, Bill, though I have to confess that I haven't been chilling myself, but I have turned the temperature down in my house. So instead of being really hot and toasty, we're a little cooler with the idea then, again, that maybe the immune system, in other words, will be more sensitive to changes in the environment. Whether that'll make a difference, I guess we'll see. So the show, for all of you who are listening or if you just tuned in here, the show that we're referring to is the show called What Doesn't Kill Us. It was aired 116. You'll find that here on the membership website. It's a rather interesting idea about how exposure to cold can actually enhance our immune system and help the body fight things like bacterial infections. But your interesting response to that, Bill, is similar to mine, actually.
Yeah, well, there's some people who can tolerate the cold fine, but I'm not one of them.
Right. So were there other topics or questions you wanted to address?
I'm gonna try that glutathione producing product that you talked about, Ross Pelton's product. I haven't started it yet because I want to be able to start it at a time when I'm not doing anything else like it, or it might interfere with it, so I can really assess it. And you said you've started it and you've noticed the difference.
Well, actually, we haven't yet started the Reg Active. Both my wife and I want to do that. I do have a big supply that I ordered so I can get a discount for people. The product that I did start several weeks ago was the Dr. O'Hara probiotics.
Okay.
And there are a lot of probiotics out there on the market. And when I heard Ross Pelton talk about these probiotics, I thought, you know, my intuition told me that's what I need. That sounds like that's perfect. They're just a really high-quality probiotic. And that's what I really have noticed a difference in. It just facilitates healthy digestion pretty quickly. And I can give you a report, I think, next month, because we're going to be starting that RegActive here in a few weeks. So I'll be able to tell you what results we're getting with that. But that, to me, the combination of an enzyme, which is called ME3, that naturally produces the glutathione in the gut, how good is that? And then also combined with that is the liver detox.
Right.
It seemed to me that's a magical combination because livers have toxins. Everybody's liver does, and especially people who are confronted with neurological challenges. Most people do have toxicity in their liver, so to be able to have some detoxing of that seems like would really prove to have long-term benefits. And both my wife and I were thinking, yeah, I think that would really benefit us, too, to be able to get a little detoxing of the liver. So we're going to give that a try, too, along with you. Well, we can both share our results here over the coming months.
Yeah. I got a 30-day supply, so I'll try it for 30 days and see what happens.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, I asked Ross about how long you had to see an effect, and he sort of said, well, it's not instant by any means. I think his answer was maybe you could be able to see something in 3 weeks or four. So hopefully that'll happen for both of us. So it's not, you know, it does take some time for that glutathione level to be built up. As I understood his explanation, glutathione tends to be very deficient in persons with neurological challenges. And so as the buildup begins, you may not notice a difference for a while just because you're building up that pretty low level up to a more tolerable level. So you know, when I asked him, it was a little, you know, like everything, you never know exactly how long it's going to take for anybody. But I would think, from what I understood, that month supply, you should be able to see a little difference.
Yeah, it would be nice if it was beneficial, because the IV treatments are pretty temporary and also pretty expensive, I understand.
That's my feeling. They're great in terms of, yeah, you do feel better. I mean, there's no doubt about it, but it's temporary and it's very expensive. And so you're going in once, twice, three times a week for these IV infusions. It's obviously a very huge inconvenience. It's a huge cost. And then the other sad part of it is, it's like you say, it does a wonderful short-term benefit, but then it falls off. So to find something that has long-lasting effect and that's cost-effective and doesn't create that kind of inconvenience of having to go get those awful intrusive IVs, that would be, you know, absolutely wonderful. When he told me about that discovery, I thought, my goodness, that's wonderful news. It's like finally something that sounds like it truly is facilitating the body's ability to heal from the inside out.
Right. Well, so I'll give it a shot, and probably by next month I'll have some information.
Oh, sounds great, Bill. Next month, maybe the month after, whenever you get going on it, because I know you're doing some other things and you don't want to interfere with what you're doing now. So sounds great. Well, we look forward to your update.
Okay.
Thanks for connecting in to the support group today. It's nice to have you here.
All right, likewise. It's always a pleasure to participate.
Well, thank you so much, Bill. And so, hello, Rita and Russ, are you there?
We're here.
Hi, Robert.
Hi there. Good to hear from you. So what's up with you guys?
You know, we're still doing I'm doing chelation. Going to go in for a session today, try that.
Good.
And I started the RegActive last week. So I'm at least 1 week into the process. We'll see what happens.
Oh, good. So you can share with Bill and myself about how it's going.
Yes, it'll be interesting to see how we all react.
Right.
Other than that, things are going about the same. No big changes or anything.
Well, good. That sounds wonderful. So things are rocking along, it sounds like.
Indeed they are.
Good. So any questions or topics you wanted to address?
Not for me, thanks. I'm enjoying the conversation.
Oh, good, good, great.
I had one, Robert.
Yes, Rita, shoot.
I'm most concerned about the bradykinesia, the slowness of movement, and I saw something on the member website from, I think her name was Karen. She said her friends tell her she moves gingerly, and I had that same feeling about Russ. He moves tentatively, and so I noticed you know, talked about the walking to the music with a beat, marching, you know, or whatever. And I saw somewhere else where you mentioned lengthening your normal stride. And those are mechanical things and habit changing techniques. Are there any, what is it exactly that, without you having to go into a long explanation, but is it the dopamine depletion that causes people to move more slowly?
Well, my suspicion, Rita, is it's a number of different factors. And so I've always thought that the simple explanation of dopamine depletion was way, way, way too simplistic to explain all the kinds of things that are happening. So my question really is, all right, so you mentioned you're very aware of, for example, sound to facilitate the mobility. Has that been tried? Is that working or not working?
Resident tried it. He works at the library part-time, and it's a big space, so when he walks around there, he was saying he, you know, is more conscious of trying to walk more quickly. I think that's what you said, right, Russ?
You bet. Yeah, I can have a good stride and put up a little momentum.
Oh, okay. So just intentionally saying, I'm going to have a larger stride makes a difference.
One thing for me, I have a knee replacement, so getting used to that over the year has been a little bit intrusive in the whole process. So adjusting to that modification as well as the modification of any other symptoms, I have to consciously walk in good posture and good pace and so on. So it's a very regimented routine.
Oh, I see. Are you at all familiar with the work that John Pepper did for himself and now that he introduces in his book?
No.
So John Pepper is an Australian, and he had a pretty advanced case of Parkinson's, and so he, like a lot of other people, decided, well, I'm going to figure out how to address these issues. And John Pepper's big issue is, in terms of learning how to reset your gait, is becoming totally aware of how you're walking, where the pressure is being put on the soles of your feet, what muscles are being used, how your posture is. To begin, according to what he discovered, to begin to be totally and completely attentive to exactly how you are putting your foot on the ground. Is it the heel first or the toe first? What part of the foot are you putting pressure on? In another interview I did on the radio show, the guest basically said, well, if you look at the anatomy of the body, you'll discover that when you walk, the greater pressure needs to be placed on the inside of the foot, not the outside. And when I, for example, look at the bottom of my feet, the soles, they're worn on the outside, not the inside. So I'm walking more on the outside of my feet, the outside edges, than I am on the inside. And so what basically John Pepper is saying is he's piggybacking on that basic idea, and he's saying, all right, just become mindful of exactly when you're putting your foot on the ground, exactly how are you doing that, and to put the pressure on the insides, not the outside. And in his book, I guess he's got some details about exactly what he's discovered makes a difference, which is available only on his website, so you can't get it from Amazon. But there's an interview with John Pepper that I did when he was visiting here in the States and Canada about 3 or 4 months ago. So it's on the radio show page here on the member website. And he discusses what he believes is important for recovery. We didn't get a lot into that mindful attention when you're walking, but I know that's a big part of what he's discovered makes a difference. So when you're walking around the library, continue to do what you're doing, and then also just really pay attention to your posture, how you're holding your shoulders, where the pressure is being placed on the bottom of your feet. And, of course, you've got that adjustment with a leg that has that replacement. And so, you know, you're going to make some individual adjustments to be able to probably facilitate really good mobility. The other thing I can say about mobility that I've discovered is many people have the belief that it's mostly just a physical issue, that, you know, the muscles are just not coordinating the way they should. But it's actually a combination of visual, what you're looking at, and auditory or sound. That's a huge part of mobility. So when you realize that, then if you can add mobility with basically visual, where you are looking, with also the mindfulness of, you know, how you're holding your body, you can make a lot of adjustments that'll make a huge difference. So all of the suggestions for auditory impetus piggyback on to that idea that, what we hear has a big part of our ability to function when we're walking or running. So you might want to, I don't know even if this is appropriate, but like if you're walking from one place to the next and you don't have to interact with other people, if you have headphones on, if you can just have a music with strong beats, that usually for most people makes a difference. Big, marching kind. I mean, think music you like to listen to. There was an interesting interview I did with a woman, dancer, Pamela Quinn, who has Parkinson's symptoms in New York City. She was a professional dancer. And when I interviewed Pamela, she said something really interesting. She said, sound really helped me be able to walk normally. And then what Pamela said was, when I'm walking down the street, if there's somebody in front of me that, for example, maybe they have shoes where you can really hear the feet landing against the ground. It's like what a person who does tap dancing might have, like a piece of metal on the bottom of their shoe. So she said if she could find somebody that was making good noise when they walked and if they were walking at a pretty fast clip, what she would do is she would go right behind them and she would walk at exactly the same pace. So the person ahead of them was going, you know, clip, 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 and she'd do the same thing, no problem, no hesitation. She could follow right up with them. And, of course, it's not just modeling what that person is doing, is she's hearing the sound. So the auditory facilitates the ability to walk with ease and confidence. So it's auditory, it's visual. So when you're walking around and just experimenting with this in the library, be attentive to where you're looking. And if all of a sudden the gate gets a little bit slow, it may be that you just have to change where you're looking. So look at the destination rather than anywhere close by. So if you're trying to go to, let's say, a circulation corner of the library, instead of looking at the shelves of books in between there or the people who are looking at books or asking other people questions, you might want to just gaze at the destination of the circulation unit and then head for that. You know, in other words, what I'm saying is where you look also facilitates mobility.
Wow. I'll try that, let you know how it goes.
Yeah, and just experiment for yourself. I mean, you're going to find your own solutions. So auditory, visual, and then become mindful, and maybe exploring some of what John Pepper recommends, so all of that together. People have had different reactions to John Pepper's work, I have to report. Some people say, I just can't. That's too anal, you know, to be able to know what muscles are being stressed in my leg, you know. And, you know, and they say, I can't do that. But other people say, no, that really is wonderful, because when you become aware of your posture, or what muscles you're holding, et cetera, it can make a big difference. So to sort of look at it from a broader perspective. And I'm just suggesting, instead of thinking of it as a simple sort of, it's a dopamine depletion issue, is to say, that could be a factor, but it's one among many, many others. And so you just get off that as the solution, which means pour more dopamine in, and rather realize, there are a lot of other solutions. And I also want to say, both Rita, to you and to Russ, this idea that I just came upon, the Faria technique, F-A-R-I-A technique, I think that might be something that would prove to be really fascinating. So I'll post something on the update from Robert's page here on the member website, and I'll put a link to his website. And I've extended an invitation to him to be a guest on the show, because what I haven't been able to figure out is he has this training program, and that sounds ominous, but I don't think it's not exactly a program. It's more like suggesting you begin to walk in a little different way or make certain movements as a matter of practice every day for maybe 10 minutes. I believe that the more specifics we can get on that, the more that it'll be clear to you what you might be able to do to also facilitate great mobility.
That's great, Robert. Thank you for all that. I wrote it
You're
all
welcome.
Down. And I just want to make one more comment. I think it all ties in together. You know, you focus on your website and these emails to us daily about, or I'm not sure how often they come, but mindfulness and deeper meanings of mindfulness. And I think we're all aware that we only live our lives with about 10% concentration. You know, our minds are just so powerful. If we were using the other 90%, what miracles we could facilitate and accomplish. And this just ties in, you know, you're saying people think it's too anal. Well, it's because they haven't learned how to do it. And the more we practice, the better we'll get. And,
right.
And anything we, you know, put our attention on, we improve. I mean, you can practice, you know, something with absent-mindedness and you won't improve as much as if you practice something with concentration and attention. And that's pretty, you know, obvious to people. So I think, it all ties in together and makes perfect sense what these people are doing, John Pepper and whoever else is, you know, paying attention. We took a Feldenkrais class once, or I guess I did, and she spent the whole hour with this group focusing on how we were walking. We walked around. She talked about, you know, where is your pressure going and da-da-da-da, and it was tied right in. So...
Yeah,
it's a kind of across the board. Other modalities recognizes too.
It's all really kind of the same theme, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, and the magical part of it is, of course, when people kind of shift, just like you and Ross have done, you basically begin to become very mindful moment to moment about what's really going on. You can solve all this yourself. You know, you can create your own solutions rather than sort of thinking the solution is out there. So that's the magic of it, I think, is people like John Pepper, well, he solved it for himself. His particular approach may work for other people, may not, but once you figure out, well, I can figure out the solutions by becoming really present about what's going on, then you can solve it for yourself.
Yeah, that's really a little farther along, I think, than we are, but it's certainly out there to be achieved.
Well, you're on the road, and you're reaching the destination as we speak.
Yes, exactly. Well, thank you so much for all these wonderful suggestions.
You're very welcome. Thank you for connecting in. It's wonderful to connect with Russ, you, and Rita. So this is British Columbia, and I'm not sure, I don't have a name here on the panel. Who is this?
It's Michaela.
Michaela, I thought that was you. I should have said that. And I thought, well, I better not say it because it might be somebody else. So,
right.
Hi, Michaela. So what's up with you?
Hi. Not much. I haven't got much to report. I just wanted to listen.
Oh, great. Well, thank you so much for connecting in. It's wonderful
to hear from you.
Yeah, it's great to hear your voice. Stephen, hi. How are you? And what's up with you?
Hi, this is Stephen. You can hear me okay?
We can hear you. Yes. Hello.
Great. Yep. I'm just really happy that I have the time and the opportunity to spend, you know, a good part of the morning working on my physical movements and so forth, and then a good part of the afternoon to study and look on your website and continue on with progress on that end of things. I can truly say that I'm realizing that this is the first time in my life that I've actually showed myself this much love and consideration. And, I mean, I've used my body, which has been very good to me, but I've worked really hard and I've done just like all these crazy wild things. But now in this time period here, I'm able to like give back my body, and it's actually enriching my spirit, my soul, and everything at the same time. So it's really kind of neat. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate your website and the work that you put into everything. It's just like whatever it seems like I need, I can find it there. You know what I mean? And I really appreciate that. I did get that liver detox and the probiotics.
Oh yeah,
switched right over to those.
Yeah.
Probably about a week ago also, and anything that intuitively speaks to me, I'm doing, you know, and I'm doing it and sticking with it. If it doesn't quite seem right, then, you know, I'll let that particular thing go, you know, but I'm still in the early process of weeding through things. I'm no longer in the spinning panic that I think I was the first probably like 3 weeks after was handed the label. But I knew right off that the doctor was a little bit off his rocker in the way he handled things and everything, and he really wasn't concerned about finding any kind of, not sure, but finding any type what the causes were and so forth and so on.
Yeah.
Which seemed to be really rudimentary for the whole issue, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
as soon as I found, thankfully, I stumbled across your website. I don't even know how I came across it, but I'm just so grateful that you were there in advance preparing all this information for us. And there are lots I'd like to talk about and things that I've learned and what would love to share, but I probably won't take everybody else's time. Just a couple of practical things, though, that I came up with. One was when I was still on the trail, my hand was going crazy with a tremor. I realized, I thought back to my martial arts background and stuff like that, and I started thinking there's more power in circular motion, and there's more of a release. It's more relaxing than a circular motion. It's easier to get more power out of the circular motion. And so while I was climbing through the mountains, and my hand would go crazy. This was before I even knew I even had any kind of a label that I could wear, referring to PD, that is. And so I would just like move my hand in circular motion, and I found I could move it very, very slowly to the point that you would hardly even know I was moving it, but it would make the tremor not be there. And in my mind, I was thinking, well, here's something that the neural pathways are not being programmed to do a tremor. Every time a tremor starts, if I just start moving deliberately in a slow circular motion, then I'm developing neural pathways that are not going to be interrupted and so forth, you know?
Yeah.
So that was one thought. And then just the other day, every time I try to take my fish oil, whatever hand, like if I hold the spoon in my left hand, which is the one with the tremor, I end up like just throwing the stuff all over the place. But so what I would do is I held the bottle in that hand, and then I got this idea, and I realized if I held a glass in my hand and just held it there, my hand eventually after a few seconds would start to tremor. But if I held it and I poured water into it, that increase of weight was enough to keep the tremor from starting. So
oh.
I don't know where I'm going to go with that, but I'm going to keep thinking about that and see, you know. So that could be something there that might lead to some other thoughts from other people here, you know.
Oh, what fascinating suggestions. On the radio show page, there's a category, I believe, if I recall, I just categorized all of these the last 3 or 4 months, on martial arts. I interviewed a fascinating individual who was a black belt, and he uses his martial arts skills to be able to always address his Parkinson's symptoms. So you'll be really fascinated to hear that interview.
When you
get a chance, you might just click on martial arts and you'll see that discussion as well.
Yeah. Yep.
There's a...
Yes.
You were going to say?
No, go ahead.
Well, the other follow-up that I was going to offer, Stephen, is that I've interviewed one person who reversed his symptoms, John Coleman from Australia, too. And on the first interview that I did with him about 8 years ago, he fully and completely reversed all of his symptoms. John made a lot of recommendations that were quite wonderful for people that were searching for solutions to the symptoms they experienced. And we went through lots of different issues. He's a naturopath doctor now, so he helps as a doctor his patients find a reversal of their symptoms. So we got to the end of the interview, and the question that I asked that I don't think he expected was, okay, John, you've suggested all of these different sorts of ideas of exercise and diet and mindfulness and meditation, et cetera, so what's the bottom line? You know, what's the one thing that somebody really needs to do in order to be able to reverse their symptoms? And I didn't know what to expect would be his answer. But what he said immediately was, oh, I can tell you the answer. It's to love myself. That was it. It was as simple. Love myself. And that's exactly what you're doing. It's like we beat up on ourselves, you know. Our bodies aren't working, and something's wrong with me. Why do I have this? Instead, he just said, no, no, you just switch the channel, and you just begin to love yourself. I mean, we're occupying a sacred vessel here, and so begin to love yourself, and everything shifts. I thought, what a beautiful answer, and that's the answer you just gave at the very beginning.
Yeah, it is true, and it's very special, and also during the meditation times and the mindfulness times, I've noticed, I mean, I've been doing this sporadically through my whole life, but all of a sudden, it's just like my inner being, not the me that's talking to you, but my inner being just like made a shift, and it's hard to think a negative thought. You know, I'm going through one of your class things, and it's saying, okay, write down the things, and it was asking for us to do exactly that. And it was like, normally all I can think about is the negative, but now it's like it's more difficult to even bring negative stuff into my mind. And I don't know if it's just a matter of a last resort, my body saying, hey, we're not going to do this, or I'm thinking that it's just a beautiful shift that's happening as a result of everything here. And I mean, the few people that I've actually even told that I got this label of PD, I'm telling them now that, you know, this is like the greatest thing that's ever happened in my life. I would have never changed my lifestyles so dramatically to improve health. And I'm seeing the tremor, honestly, I think the tremor has gotten a little bit worse, but I'm totally ignoring it, you know, unless I can't for obvious reasons. But I'm looking at the levels of health that I know are changing in my body as I go along, and even in my spirit. You know what I mean? I was supposed to have a surgery at Mass Eye and Ear for 2 years in a row, but both years I kind of docked out of it. This year I got bumped out of it because in the pre-op the doctor said, "Well, you got a tremor. We got to figure out what's going on with this before we can let you out." So I missed my appointment for having that surgery. But it's because for 20 years I haven't been able to breathe through my sinuses. But through this program, one of the layers of healing that's happened is I started this, my own take on what I've understood to be an anti-inflammatory diet.
Uh-huh.
And wouldn't you know, for the first time in 2 decades, I'm breathing clearly out of both sides of my nose and I don't even need the surgery.
Oh, my
So that's what I'm saying. This has been a blessing in disguise, and it's probably the greatest thing that's ever happened in my life.
Oh, that's wonderful to hear.
That's
something to truly celebrate.
Yep. Well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome, Stephen. Thanks so much for connecting in. And I can also report in the very same interview I just mentioned with John Coleman, I asked him specifically about tremors, and I said, okay, John, what do you recommend people could do to address their tremors? And his answer was also very fascinating. He said, oh, don't worry about the tremors. That's the last thing to resolve. John said, you know, it took him several years to be able to see sustained relief from his symptoms. And he said, well, each symptom slowly resolves one by one. And he said a couple of months before his symptoms all of a sudden were totally reversed, his tremors got significantly worse. He said it was, you know, he'd never experienced anything that was really so dramatic. Worse. And then he said in a matter of 3 days, they calmed down and they were gone. And that was it. I know that's a pretty wonderful story. So his suggestion to everybody is the tremors are the last to be concerned about, and they will be the last to resolve as well. So I thought that was fascinating insights and perspectives from a person who's been all the way through the process. So Lillian, hello. How are you? Can you hear me?
Hello. I'm good.
Good. So anything to report from you?
I've actually found a yoga group that is for people with Parkinson's.
Yeah.
And it seems to be good. And I'm also doing some physical therapy, so I think it's all good. I don't have much else to report right now.
Well, thank you so much for those two. I know I've done interviews on yoga on a number of different shows, and one of them we interviewed lots of people who were in a yoga group here in Seattle. And boy, person after person, Lillian, reported that it really had changed their lives, that they felt like they loved and look forward to going to their yoga group. I think it was a couple of times a week group, and they said it was transformative for them. It sounds like you're finding the same experience.
Yeah, it's still fairly new to me, but I have been doing Pilates, and there are people that favor Pilates and people that favor yoga. I think it's all somewhat similar, but
right. But
it's all good. Yeah, it all seems to be good and helpful.
Right, I think so. And it's a way to unwind the body. The body gets all tense, and so you just literally unwind all of that tension and stress, and the traumas get released in a very natural way. Well, thanks so much for joining us. It's wonderful to have you here.
Thank you, and thank you for all you do.
You're very welcome, Lillian. It's an honor and a privilege. So now I'm going to check, for those of you that don't know, there's a little section here on the page where you can type in a question or a comment, or if you want to talk about something. So I know some of you don't really want to talk, but you can write in a comment. You can do that anytime during the month. You don't have to wait until just the actual live showing. So this came from Trula, and so I'm going to read what Trula wrote. Good day. What is Parkinsonism, and how do we know the difference? So that was the question that she had initially asked, and I dodged the question. I have to confess. I dodged it because it's not the thinking that I found is useful or productive for actual healing from the inside out. It's useful for medical doctors who have to have a label to be able to prescribe medicines. And they have a difference in mind of what the two labels actually mean. But again, I sidestep all of that issue, and I basically say, well, I think a better question to ask is, you have certain symptoms, so sink down and ask the question, well, what's causing them? Is it at a very deep level with some traumas that you've experienced? Is it some thought forms that are not in your best and highest good? Are there entanglements in your family system? And then get up to the physical and ask, okay, what organs are compromised? Is your liver got way too many toxins? What about your gallbladder? If you're having some issues with mobility, particularly tightness in your muscles, then that's a gallbladder issue. Your gallbladder probably has either bacterial infections or toxins. That needs to be healed. If your liver has some bacterial infections or toxins and you feel very weak, then it's a liver issue. So, there are very specific sources of these physical issues that can be identified. And then once you know what it is, then you can just focus your energies on maybe detoxing needs to be done, and maybe releasing traumas needs to be attended to, and maybe acknowledging entanglements in your family system, whatever it might be. And so I think, for me, speaking as an individual and making recommendations to people who have these neurological challenges, I think what really helps the most is not to accept any label, to just defer to the medical community. They have to do that. They don't have any choice. And so they want to give it a name, fine, but do not take it on. Do not accept that as yours. Do not accept that as your identity. I would not even want to know the answer to the difference, because it doesn't matter. It's insignificant. So when a person gets a diagnosis of Parkinson's disease, it's based on guesswork. Some people have said, for instance, if you look at reviews of the Road to Recovery on Amazon, all of them, top reviews, but there's one review where a person says, well, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. He says there's no definitive diagnosis for Parkinson's. And they gave me, this outrageously low review. He said, there's the PET scan that, tells you have Parkinson's. Well, no, I'm sorry, but that's not definitive either. So you might be able to see if there's degradation of the cells in the substantia nigra that actually produce dopamine, but that doesn't mean a person has, quote, Parkinson's disease. So I think the fact is that that it doesn't really help with a journey down the road to recovery in terms of healing from the inside out to accept or embrace any label that's given for whatever condition you have, because the factors that cause the symptoms are so multifaceted. There's so many reasons why people have these issues, and that's what the reason I know that as a researcher is when I began to explore the various factors that cause the symptoms. I began to document those particular causes. And then I actually transcribed these interviews and wrote these two books, Pioneers of Recovery. There are two books with lots of different stories that people have told about how they reverse their symptoms, and they're all different. It's like, whoa! So I just want to say, when I started this whole journey 12 years ago, I really did think that I would identify a single or perhaps several causes that once treated would be able to reverse the symptoms. And what I've discovered is, well, that's pretty simplistic attitude. That's not really what's going to happen. That fact is that there are a lot of different factors that are at play here. And so many of you here just that have called in have been addressing that from that perspective and getting great results. So you can heal from the inside out. You can take charge. You can make it happen. Recovery is happening to more and more people as I speak here today, and it's happening for you as well by virtue of the fact that literally you are just connecting in as members here. You are checking into the member websites. You are transforming those thoughts that are not in your best and highest good. You are finding ways to figure out what's causing your symptoms and addressing those causes and realizing that, well, it's just a journey, to health and wellness. And when you look around you, there are lots of other people that have lots of other challenges and health problems. These just happen to be yours, and so you're on a journey to be able to figure out what's causing it and what you can do to actually heal that. All healing in the end comes from the inside out, and that's why you're here, to be able to facilitate just that. It's an honor and a privilege for me to support you on your journeys and to update these member websites every day. And remember, you're invited to check in with the member websites every day. There's new information there all the time. And if you don't check in every day or every week, it's going to be gone the next week. So you're going to lose a lot of this wonderful, positive energy and suggestions and content that will really facilitate your return to health and wellness. And as you guessed it, we checked in with everybody who called in and all the questions that were submitted. We invite you to connect in here live one month from today, which will be the last Monday in February, to be able to connect as well. And, of course, you can all listen to the recordings of these sessions that are always available once we conclude our session. So thanks to all of you for being here and sharing your experiences and your wisdom. It means a great deal to me, as well as all of the other members at Parkinson's Recovery. And that's what's happening here on the shores of, you guessed it, the Puget Sound, where all the women are smart, all the children are loved, and all the men are, of course, handsome. Know that, again, by virtue of the fact that you are here and participating in the membership program as well as the support groups every month, that you indeed are on the road to recovery. If you have any topics you want to address in February, any questions you want to have answered or discussed by others, just email me and we'll put them on the agenda for next month. So I look forward to connecting with each of you next month, if not much earlier.